RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Campers Inn. To find your family's next RV, visit campersinn.com.
And by Good Sam Auto and RV Club. For a special membership offer, visit goodsam.com/RV Family Travel Atlas. And by RV Trader. To sell your RV, go to rvtrader.com/sell and enter RVFTA 5OFF to receive a special offer. And by Penguin Random House, publishers of The Complete Idiot's Guide to RVing and The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations, available at your favorite booksellers today. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at rvfamilytravelatlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are taking you to school, camp cooking school to be precise. We all know there is nothing more authentic than a Dutch oven meal prepared over the campfire, but for many of us, this seems like a pretty complicated skill to learn.
So we invited Mark Hansen from marksblackpot.com to teach us the ins and outs of Dutch oven cooking. He starts by telling us all about the equipment we need to do it right, and then we get to the fun part, the food. Plus, we will throw in our own favorite beginner recipes for the Dutch oven novice.
You might think you don't have the chops to master the art of campfire cuisine, but we know that everything in life is easier with a lesson from an expert. School is in session, and you are listening to episode number 91, Dutch Oven Cooking 101 with Mark Hansen.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, Dutch Oven Cooking 101 with Mark Hansen, it's time for our RVFTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Progressive Insurance.
Yeah, you can keep all of your stuff protected with Personal Effects. And with this optional coverage, they'll pay to replace damaged, lost, or stolen personal items in and around your RV. You can call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV today for more info.
For Father's Day, will you get me some personal effects assurance for my cameras?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to get you for Father's Day.
No, I want it for my cameras.
All right, good. Now that's what you're getting.
Now, we have some products, and we have not exactly mastered the selling of products, but we have some products. Stephanie does not like product. I like product. And let me tell you, the t-shirts really came out great, and so did the bumper magnets. And don't you dare call them bumper stickers.
No, the bumper magnets, they do look really good, and people seem to be happy. The people that we have gotten them to seem to be very happy about them. There's some nice pictures posted on Instagram using the hashtag RVFTA, right?
Yeah, should we be hashtagging RVFTA magnet?
I don't think it needs its own hashtag.
So how do you order either a t-shirt or a magnet or both?
All right, so it will be in the links, in a link on these show notes. But then also what I did was I just put it at the top of our RVFTA store page, which is on our website, rvfamilytravelatlas.com. So if you look across the top, you'll see store, click on store, and then you'll see the bumper magnet you can buy, and you'll see the t-shirts you can buy.
I suggest buying two bumper magnets, one for your bumper and one for up near the hitch.
Oh, do we have two on ours?
Yeah.
You put two on.
And you could order a third. You could order a third one for your truck.
All right, so three bumper stickers, 6 times 3,
that's $18. You just called them stickers, okay. Naughty.
Three bumper magnets, 6 times 3, that's $18. That's under $20 for three bumper magnets. It's a steal.
And if you buy four, it'll be $24. It's like you're saving money.
It's true. Simple math, multiplication.
All right, now look, this week's show is all about food. It's about Dutch oven cooking with the master, Mark Hansen. Now, we wrote an awful lot about food in our book, The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacation, Stephanie.
We did. And in fact, some people have actually been commenting on that, that give us feedback about the book. They're like, oh my gosh, I love the food recommendations, because I think that some people were surprised to see so much attention paid to food in an RV book.
Well, let's face it, we actually had to kind of convince the editors to put in food recommendations for each of these great RV vacations. There was a little bit of push and pull on that one.
Yeah, not a lot, but we just really felt that that is such an important part of the travel experience for us. It really, I think it's hard to experience a local, a local culture without really diving into the food.
Imagine going to Charleston and not doing great local food, right?
I don't want to imagine it.
Now, do you have one example here of like some of the food recommendations we did? Now, we're heading back to Cape Cod this summer, and it's been one of our favorite trips over the past few years. So what were our food recommendations for Cape Cod? We give three great recommendations for each of our 40 RV vacations.
Right. We could only give three, so it was tough, and we had to make some hard choices. But we followed a little bit of a formula, not too much in every case, but a little bit of one to help us sort of narrow down what we were going to recommend. Because for a lot of places, it's very hard to pick just three. You know, the best destinations also a lot of time have the best food. So what we kind of did was we thought, okay, definitely a place that's more like a breakfast, sandwichy, maybe a takeout, a deli kind of a place. Us RVers, we're usually hiking, biking, you know, we're doing something active during the day, and it's really nice to have a good either breakfast place or a place that you could take a lunch to go. So we actively tried to recommend a place that would be more like that.
And was that the Hole-in-One Bakery for Cape Cod?
Yeah. So for Cape Cod, we did recommend the Hole-in-One Bakery, right? It's not a sit-down place. It's not, you're just going to go in, you're going to get breakfast.
It's a stand-up and wait-in-line place in the summer because the line's out the door, but it's worth it for those donuts.
Right. So it's a nice breakfast place. You can take coffee to go. Really great little, like, breakfasty kind of a find there. Now, another thing that we tried to do was find a more family-friendly, maybe sit-down restaurant, almost like road foodie shacky, you know, if it was there, or maybe more like casual dining.
Type of place you could bring the kids and you'll just blend in with all the crazy eating and noise that's already going on.
So for Cape Cod, we picked Arnold's Lobster and Clam Bar for that one. Very shacky, very casual, but delicious food and just a prime pick for a lobster.
And right near Atlantic Oaks Campground, you could walk or ride your bike from the campground to Arnold's.
And we have, yeah. And then lastly, I did always try to include, if there was a good one, a really nice sort of special eat out occasion restaurant, right?
And look, we wanted The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations to be good for family RVers, for retired couples who are RVing, for everybody that RVs. So
yeah,
we didn't want to just do family food places. We didn't want to just do expensive high-end places. We wanted to do a nice mix.
Yeah, these are not Perkins, okay? These are not restaurants. We didn't pick restaurants that are like, bring your kids and your kids eat free.
I don't think there is a Perkins on Cape Cod.
You know, that's not what our goal was. These are really the best places to eat in an area. But even adults want different feels at different times of the day or on different days. So I did always try to include one special meal, because oftentimes that's how we travel. We do like to eat out one night, maybe at a more sort of upscale, nice place. And so for that, I chose the Muse Restaurant and Cafe, and that's in P-Town. And that's sort of one of those more fine dining kind of restaurants. It has a well-known wine list selection. It also, you know, has some well-known celebrity sightings.
The local celebs.
Yeah.
You know, your local podcast hosts and things like that gather there.
Yeah, that's what they have in the reviews. I spotted Stephanie and Jeremy.
Yeah, I think it's more like Paul McCartney.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. So, that you know, every one of the destinations has those food recommendations there, and check them out.
Check it out. Okay, now our forum thread of the week also has to do with food. We're rocking a theme this week. So what was our forum thread of the week?
All right, so I went on the forums to look through our food threads, and I kind of wanted to contrast a little bit about, like, what we're doing in this episode is not simple, right? When we encourage people to cook over a campfire, that's like the very definition of not simple cooking. It's not, because first of all, you just have to build a fire and let it get really hot and cook down. So automatically, you're not throwing something on.
This is a bit of an art form.
Yeah, I mean, it takes time. Absolutely 100%. It's more time than a lot of things we do, and it takes effort. So I thought, well, let me contrast that with something that we have on our forum that is sort of the opposite, like on those other days when you get back from the activities late. And I focused on a thread that's called Super Easy Family Recipes.
Peanut butter and jelly. No, yeah. Not that simple.
Tuna fish. That's what we do on those nights when we need
those. What are some of the things that people recommended?
All right. So Carrie started off the thread, and I think she wanted to be a good sport and give a recommendation. You know, so she's like, you got to give to get, right? So she automatically threw out a recommendation. I think it was like smothered black beans over like sweet potatoes or something.
She's probably eating those right now as she heads out west. Hashtag yeah. Birdie goes west.
Birdie.
No. Hashtag I got it. Hashtag Birdie MPS 100.
You got it. Yeah. Yeah. So you can check out that hashtag to see her adventures. They're off to a good start. Yeah. It sounds like they're already having a lot of fun. So she put that up there because Carrie does not really it's not that she doesn't enjoy cooking, because she does at home. It's that she doesn't really feel comfortable cooking yet in the RV and with the limitations of her RV, which, you know, are a little bit tight
for
her.
And she's always going on these epic trips out west where they're kind of like hustling from one place to the next. They're not really settling down anywhere for a week or 10 days.
But she wanted some go-to standards, right? So she suggested one, and she got a ton of responses back, right? So people recommended some of the typical, like foil pouches, walking tacos is a popular one. And you know what? If you don't know what walking tacos is, Google it. All right, you're going to get...
Why don't you just tell everyone?
Because there's a million different versions out there, and I'm not giving... You know, it's just, it's tacos in a
bag. We have never directed people to the Google before.
Because I'm saying it's just one of those standards. It's a bag, you know, when you put the taco meat and all the fixings, like the lettuce and tomatoes, you put it in a bag of Doritos. Like, so some people, like, open up those little single-serve Doritos, you crunch up the chips, and then you put it in all the taco stuff in there so kids could walk around eating the tacos.
Sounds messy and delicious.
It's, well, the whole point is it's not supposed to be that messy, because like you have a bag and it's
Wesley and Doritos.
I know. Like a fork, and you can eat out of the bag. But you know, it's a popular one. But a lot of people who are new to the world RVing may not have ever come across it before. But then there were some great links to some tasty recipes for sure, like grilled prosciutto peach salad and banana boats for dessert. And then there were other links too to great recipes. Oh, another standby that somebody said they used was meatball subs. I do that. I love meatball subs for a quick go-to meal. Our boys are big fans.
You made awesome meatball subs the other night. You got good bread for them.
Yeah, well, that's the secret.
That's really, the secret.
And so that's what I do when I'm grocery shopping for the trip that day. I get a nice, you know, loaf of fresh bread, and then it's ready for that first night, you know, a quick dinner when we arrive at the campground late or something like that. So
check out our forum and check out all those
easy recipes.
I'll
link to
that
thread there, and it's a great thread. Add your own. Sometimes I'm like overwhelmed by how many posts there really are in our forum, like useful posts.
Yes,
not
if you haven't signed up
posts.
For the forum, like, what's going on, people?
Yeah, so go over there and see the different ideas for easy family
now,
recipes.
Let's introduce this Mark Hansen guy, because he's like a Jedi Knight of the Dutch oven. He is seriously like a poet of the Dutch oven.
Yeah, so we knew we wanted to do, you know, a Dutch oven podcast episode. People are really into it, and it's a little bit overwhelming to get started in it. And so we went to the source. Right? I mean, Mark Hansen has a blog called marksblackpot.com, and you're hard-pressed to be searching out there for Dutch oven tips or recipes without coming across a Mark's Black Pot reference somewhere. He's like the pop-up princess, you know, of the Dutch oven recipe. It's the same thing I said with her. Like, if you're searching for, like, you know, RV makeover, the Papa Princess is going to pop up.
Mark has a book on every aspect of Dutch oven cooking. We're going to put those all into our Amazon shop, and we're going to talk about those books throughout these interviews with Mark,
yeah,
the two segments, rather.
Yeah.
So if you want to buy one of his books, which you should, buy it through our Amazon store.
Yeah, yeah. So check out his books. They're great resources. And he's just a wealth of information. And, you know, the first segment, we're going to talk to him. He's going to tell us all of the equipment, okay, that we need in order to develop our skills in the Dutch oven cooking arena. And then in the second segment, we're going to move on to food. And he's going to talk to us about sort of easy and then more challenging dishes that we can prepare using the Dutch oven. So, ready to get going?
Back in a second with Mark Hansen from marksblackpot.com. And this guy is really worth listening to. He's going to teach us so much.
Choosing the right RV dealership is as important as choosing the right RV.
Campers Inn has thousands of RVs to choose from and has been the RVer's trusted resource for 50 years.
In 1966, Art and Fran Hirsch, along with their sons Bob, David, and Jeff, invested their family's life savings to buy four folding tent trailers, selling them out of their front yard in Acton, Massachusetts.
Their dream was to build a hometown dealership where every customer feels like family and becomes a customer for life.
50 years and three generations later, Campers Inn RV is the nation's largest family-operated dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast.
Their professional staff and certified trained service personnel are driven by the commitment to treat each customer fairly and with respect.
Find your family's next RV at campersinn.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're really excited to be here with Mark Hansen from marksblackpot.com. And I think Stephanie is super excited for this interview because it's all about food.
Yeah, and everybody knows that I love food. I like eating it primarily, but, you know, I also kind of like to prepare it as well. And Mark Hansen is here to help us make better campfire food, which we all want to do, right? We're in our RVs, we're comfy, cozy, we're not really authentic campers, but maybe if we bust out our Dutch ovens and cook over the coals, we get a little more authentic, right? So welcome, Mark. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, thanks.
Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. How did you get into this whole Dutch oven cooking thing?
It's really a funny story. Maybe 10 or 11 years ago, had no real interest in, a special interest in cooking or anything. But I had mentioned to my wife that it might be kind of fun to have a Dutch oven. And so she bought me one for Father's Day, and it completely surprised me. But I still have that Dutch oven to this day, by the way. Thought, okay, well, this will be cool. Let's try it. And the first thing I made in it was pizza. It turned out okay, and family loved it. And so that gave me a bit of encouragement. And so I started doing our Sunday dinners on my back porch.
So after pizza, where did you go from there?
There's this chicken and potatoes thing that I do that's really good. And then there's I tried roasts and I did chilies and I did all kinds of things like that. Just fairly simple stuff. I got a couple of Dutch oven cookbooks and played with those for a bit. And then after a while, my day job was involved in internet promotion and marketing, so I started a blog. So I would cook on Sunday, and then by, say, Monday or Tuesday, I would post that story and that recipe up on my blog, marksblackpot.com. After a few years of doing that and experimenting with new dishes, and I'd actually built up quite a bit of a traffic base. A regional publishing company here contacted me and said, let's do some cookbooks. And so I went from very little interest in cooking to a total fascination to cookbook author in a space of about 5 or 6 years.
Okay, so you are going to give our listeners the tips they need to become cookbook authors in a short time, right?
or at least to make some good Dutch oven pizza. Yeah.
We have a lot of listeners who are in the same situation that you were in 12 years ago. They have a Dutch oven in front of them, and they're not really sure what to do with it. So, first of all, even if they don't have a Dutch oven, what should they look for when they're purchasing one, or what makes a quality Dutch oven?
Well, first of all, you want to clarify the types of Dutch ovens that you have, because really there's basically two types. There's indoor Dutch ovens and outdoor Dutch ovens. And almost everything I do in the outdoor ones using charcoals for heat. I'm all about the outdoor cooking. And you can tell a Dutch oven that's designed for outdoors for two reasons. One is it'll have legs on the bottom so that you can set coals underneath it. It rises the Dutch oven up so you can set hot coals underneath it. And second of all, the lid will have a rim, a lip around the side of it so that you can put coals on the lid and the ashes won't shake off into the food when you lift the lid off.
Okay, so okay? Legs and a rim.
Right. An indoor Dutch oven or something that's designed to be used on your stove and in your regular oven won't have those two things. It'll have a flat bottom but no legs, and it'll have a kind of a domey shaped lid. It might also have a colored enamel coating.
Right. You're describing my in-home Dutch oven to a T. It's a really pretty blue color.
Yeah. I have this beautiful orangish yellow one that's been in my family for a couple of generations now. But I don't use that in outdoor cooking because you can't keep the coals on the lid and it's tough to lift it. You have to put like a little stand underneath it to get it up above the coals too. So it's just impractical for outdoor use.
Okay, so what else do we need to look for when we're shopping for a Dutch oven?
There's some that are brands that are made here in America that are really well crafted. One is Lodge and the other is Camp Chef. And then there's a whole bunch of off brands, most of which are cast in China. Now, even those, you're going to still be able to create some great meals in. But here's one way you can tell what you're getting. When you set the Dutch oven on the floor or on the table or whatever, and the lid's on the Dutch oven, if you press on that rim all the way around, the lid shouldn't move. On the other hand, if you find spots where it rocks back and forth as you're pressing on the rim, that indicates that the lid is not exactly level, and it means that there's gaps in between the lid and the Dutch oven itself.
And that's really going to get in the way of creating a good seal, right, for your cooking?
Right. Okay. The idea of a Dutch oven is that it traps, the heavy lid traps the moisture and traps the heat. So you're really steaming the food. That keeps it deliciously moist, particularly when you're doing stuff like turkeys and things. If you've got a lid that is not exactly even like that, it will vent some of that heat and steam. Now, careful though, because you can still cook a good meal in it and you'll still taste great, but it won't be it might not cook quite as quickly because it's venting some of the heat and steam. See what I mean?
Right. But if you want, you feel like if our listeners want to get a quality Dutch oven, they can't go wrong with the Lodge or the Camp Chef.
Right. Lodge actually, as I understand it, mills the lids smooth after they're cast. So they don't just rely on the casting to make them smooth.
And what are the price points roughly on that brand?
Well, there's the key. Dutch ovens from Lodge are going to be almost twice as much as some of these off brands. A simple one. Now, if you're just getting started in Dutch ovening, I would recommend getting what's called a 12-inch shallow Dutch oven.
Okay, so a 12-inch shallow to start with.
Right.
Okay, and you can do most things. Okay, that's going to be your most versatile
Dutch
oven.
The most versatile. You can do almost everything in that. Now, okay. If it's, like a retired couple who are, RVing around the country, seeing a great nation, you can do a 10-inch, and you could cook most of your meals in a 10-inch Dutch oven.
Okay, so if you're downsizing for your empty nest, go for 2 inches smaller.
Yeah.
All right, great.
And then usually when I do desserts, I do 10 inches in the dessert because cakes and pies tend to be a little more the right size in a 10 inch. But almost everything I do in that 12 inch shallow, it's definitely my workhorse size.
Okay, so what else do we need to pack up along with our Dutch oven before we go to the campground?
You need something to cook on. That could be anything from a sheet of metal. I've seen people use bricks and a metal, garbage can lid turned upside down. Most garbage cans these days are plastic, but sometimes you can still get those metal rubbish bins, and you can turn that lid upside down and use that. The idea is you want something that you can put hot coals on. When I first began, after getting that Dutch oven from my wife, I had a couple of 1 foot by 2 foot paver stones, and I set them side by side into this little 2 foot square platform, and that made a great cooking platform. Now I've got this Camp Chef metal table. It's like probably 3 feet wide by a foot and a half, and it's about probably about 3 feet high too, so I don't have to bend over.
What's the price point on something like that, Mark?
That's probably around, I think, $50 or $60. Another thing, actually, there's a company, and I'm not sure who does it, but, you know, check a local outdoor store for this. It's a little, maybe foot and a half square of sheet metal with legs that are probably 6 inches. That's wonderful to use, too.
Okay, so something to cook on, and what else?
You'll need a lid lifter, because you don't want to be, obviously, grabbing a hold of a hot cast iron lid with your fingers. You'll need some spring tongs that you could use to grab the coals and position them and move them around. Again, you don't want to be doing that with your bare hands. I don't know, you know, something like sending your insurance rate sky high. It's just, you could get that at a restaurant supply store or in the kitchen section of any retailer. But once you use it for coals, don't use it for food. Okay. Because, of course, it'll get coated with that, the chemicals and the smoke from the charcoal.
Right.
And I recommend something at least as long as your forearm, because you'll be reaching around where it's really hot. And if you've got a little 4-inch long tongs, you can do it, but it's your hands can get pretty warm that way.
Okay. Anything else we have to stock up on?
Leather gloves would be good, although you don't always need them if you're just careful how you move the thing, the Dutch oven around with hooks and with the moving coals with the tongs. You don't have to have this, but one of those round charcoal lighter chimneys is good, especially if you're doing a long cook, like you're doing a long turkey roast or a long beef roast, where you're going to have to keep replenishing hot coals. You can keep some hot coals in that chimney and keep pouring new ones into it so that they relight, and then you can replenish the coals on your Dutch oven itself. I've been to a lot of Dutch oven cook-offs and things, and I've seen some pretty elaborate setups. And, you know, people spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on their chuck wagon boxes and everything they bring. And yeah, that's great, but you don't need that, especially to get started. You just need a Dutch oven, a place to cook, a place to move the coals, or a way to move the coals, and a way to lift your lid, and you're pretty much good. Keep in mind is that, you know, our pioneer ancestors crossed the plains using these things, and they didn't have all the fancy stuff that a lot of people bring out to these things.
Thank you so much, Mark. That was such an educational segment about all the tools that we need to start cooking with our Dutch ovens. But now we have to get to the really fun part, cooking the actual food itself. And we will be back in a minute with Mark of Mark's Black Pot to talk about the food. Stay tuned.
And now it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at RVTrader.com.
If you've been dreaming about RVing but aren't quite sure where to start, RV Trader can help you find the right RV for you and your family.
Check out their blog, which has helpful articles on new units entering the market, travel tips, events, and other helpful resources.
Also, icons on the homepage will help you search for towable units or motorhomes, and you can select a specific manufacturer or price range to narrow your results and find RVs near you.
And lastly, if you're looking to sell your current RV or trade it up for another one, RVTrader.com can help you do that too. Add photos, a description, and contact info, and buyers will contact you directly for more information.
RV Trader has everything you need to find or sell your RV.
To start your search today, visit RVTrader.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here with Mark Hansen from Mark's Black Pot, an expert on Dutch oven cooking, and he is telling us everything we know to get started cooking outside over the fire in our Dutch ovens. We just covered all of the equipment. Check now. If we have all of our gear ready to go, right, whether it's fancy or budget line, we're ready to cook something. I feel like for a lot of folks where it starts to break down, like where they feel uncomfortable, is all this talk about the coals, okay? Like, yeah. It makes people nervous. Like, it's different than turning on an oven to a temperature, even just turning on your propane stove, right? You're like, what coals do I use? How many do I use? When do I start, like, moving them over, moving them around? You know, I mean, and keeping it simple. Yeah, people are right. Okay. So, like, break it down.
And seriously, because there's so many variables, and each one could potentially mess up your food. So it's okay to be nervous about that, but we'll talk here and we'll get you confident. Yeah.
Okay, so get us confident about our coals. What do we need to know about the coals?
I would recommend, by the way, if you are a simple beginner, to start with some kind of dish that's not going to require a lot of focused accuracy in the temperature, okay? So don't bake bread, don't bake a cake for your first time. That kind of stuff requires a lot more attention, a little more practice. Instead, make like a stew or make a, there's this chicken and potatoes dish that I do where it's basically just cubed potatoes, cubed chicken, other veggies like celery, carrots, some herbs, some spices, and a bit of lemon juice, and you just bake that and you're good to go, right?
Right.
And the reason I suggest that kind of thing is because it's not so critical. If you happen to get a few too many coals or a few too few, you would just end up cooking it less or longer. Now, if you got a lot too many coals, you could burn it anyway, but the idea is a simple formula will guide you to get things started, okay? In order to do a simple baked dish like what I'm just describing, look at the diameter of the Dutch oven, 12 inches, for example, and double that number. Now, typically, I like to cook it around 350, 375, so I'll probably use a few more than that. And that's going to be in a normal kind of warmish kind of day, with not a lot of breeze, all right?
Oh, okay. You might have to go up if you have a wind that's taking your heat away.
Right.
Okay.
Or if you're cooking some, eggs and potatoes early in the morning where it's already 50 degrees or 40 degrees in a chilly summer morning or spring morning, right? You might want to go a little more than that anyway. So you got 24. In general, like I say, if I'm doing a bake, I'm going to put 1/3 of those in a circle around the base of the Dutch oven and 2/3 in a circle around the lid.
This is where your third grade math comes in really handy, right?
Yeah.
I also love the thought of like having to adjust to the wind. It's like so visceral and real and authentic, you know?
Yeah, it is. It actually is. You know, you've got about, what did that come out to? About 16 coals on the lid, up against that little lip I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. And what I usually do on the bottom is I usually spread it'll be like 8 coals. But actually, like I say, I like to go a little more.
To make it to 350. So you might have 10 or 12 around the base.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
Okay.
And what I do is I put that in a pretty big circle and I set the Dutch oven in the middle. And then I scoot the coals so that they're sitting just under the outside edge of the Dutch oven.
So I'm keeping the coals around the rim of the, like, sort of the outside. I'm not, like, gathering all the coals up together and placing the Dutch oven on top of them.
Right.
Okay.
Now, the reason you're doing that is because the heat from each one of those coals is going to radiate, and it's going to heat up the cast iron, right? And it radiates up the sides of the Dutch oven, and it also radiates toward the center. So you've got all of these coals in the ring that are radiating toward the center, making a nice, even overall heat, right?
Okay.
So if you've got coals there in the center already, and you've got that heat radiating in from the side, it's going to get really hot in the center.
Uneven. You're going to have uneven cooking.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So the Dutch oven has to do its work, in a sense.
Right.
I mean, the product is doing doing so much of the work.
Right, exactly. And so that's why you don't want, generally speaking, to put coals in the middle. Now, there are some times, like when I'm sauteing something or if I'm doing a big soup, I don't mind putting a lot of coals in the middle, because if I'm sauteing something, getting ready to do a different kind of cooking with it, I want the whole Dutch oven very hot, and mm-hmm. I'm going to be stirring the onions or whatever. So nothing's going to be sitting in place long enough to really burn anyway. Right. Right?
Yeah, because you're stirring. You're moving it around.
Right. And you're, if I'm doing a soup or a chili or a stew, then the liquid is going to be using convection. I'm trying to think what the verb for that would be. Convecting?
It would be, I don't know.
But it's going to be moving the heat around to a certain extent, and you'll be stirring it too. So in those cases, I'll be using a lot of bottom heat, and I'll probably put a lot of coals in the middle, and that's fine. But when I'm just doing a roast or a baking kind of sitting, no, I don't want coals in the center of the Dutch oven.
So this is why I excel at chili in my Dutch oven or things like that. And I really struggle with like cornbread. When I try that, I'm always getting like the bottom, you know, is overcooked. And now I really understand why. It's that I am placing the heat more evenly across the bottom of my pot. So I know what I'm doing wrong.
Mark, I want to thank you right now, because cornbread is going to be better next time.
Here's another hint on cornbread too, by the way. When you make cornbread, do you usually make it from scratch or from a mix?
I do make it from scratch, yeah.
Whether you do it from scratch or from a mix, make about half the amount you normally do, and then do an equal amount of yellow cake.
Oh.
And then blend those two recipes together.
Okay. That sounds yummy.
In fact,
in
one of my books and on the blog,
okay,
I've actually figured out the amount to make the yellow cake from scratch and make the cornbread from scratch. And I combined that into a single process and a single ingredients list. And it is so sweet and tender and yummy.
Mark, will you come camping with us? I'll pay for your site and the ingredients.
Yeah. There we go.
He'll do your shopping for you.
I'd like rent myself out in the summer as a camp chef, right?
Oh, yeah. That would be fantastic. Let me tell you something. People would hire you, I bet. Seriously. We all like the idea of it. It's just a lot of work.
You got to promise me you're going to do that cornbread thing, Stephanie.
No, I am. I will. And I will link to that in the show notes. I feel like I've learned something about the coals. I really feel like you described well the sort of setup that we have to do. Now, I also want to note that something you do on all your recipes and is very common for the good Dutch oven sort of chefs out there is you guys tell us how many coals to put underneath and above, right?
Right. So if you go to marksblackpot.com, I'll start off with, you need this Dutch oven, you know, this size, this shape, you'll use this many coals on top, this many coals on the bottom, and then I'll do the ingredients, and then it will be the process.
Right. So that's probably for beginners. It's probably really important to kind of do those Dutch oven recipes that have that information like yours does, like if they get one of your books, because probably after you've done a bunch, you start to get a feeling for it yourself. Would you think that that's right? True.
That's true. And almost everything I cook is at about 350.
Okay.
There are a few things, like I was doing a demo yesterday, and I did an artisan French bread loaf. And that one I did at 400, 425. But almost everything else is, you know, I'm going to do some barbecue chicken. That's going to be 325. I'm going to do some, you know, whatever. It's almost always going to be at 325, okay. 350.
Okay. All right.
So that's kind of a good standard amount to get used to. And here's another tip too. Once you do this, you know, you set up your Dutch oven and you got it, the food in it, you've got the coals on and you're ready to just kind of sit back and relax and watch it cook. Which is a magical time, by the way, because you can tell your kids, go away, I'm cooking.
She tells me to go away at that point. Anything.
No, I'm cooking.
I love it. It looks like I'm sitting
somebody's
in my zero.
Somebody's got to guard the thing, though. I mean, it's hot, right? I mean, so you
right,
want,
yeah. As soon as you've got everything set and the coals are on, hold your hand over the lid, flat, about maybe 6 to 10 inches above. And just hold it there for a minute or two and feel how hot that feels. And if you get in the habit of doing that whenever you replenish your Dutch oven coals, whenever you start a new dish, what you'll learn is how hot it should be by feel. Now, that's not going to be accurate, right? Down to the degree Fahrenheit.
Degree, right.
But it will be accurate enough for you to say, oh, that's getting too cool. I'm going to have to put some more coals on.
Plus, you look really cool holding your hand above the thing around the campfire.
Yeah.
You look like I'm the tough. Dutch oven, like Zen man, you know? I can feel temperature.
The Zen master of the Dutch oven Jedi.
Yes, you must be the Dutch oven, Luke.
Exactly.
All right. So you mentioned that it's a good thing to start out with things like soups, stews, or like those, like, what would you call it? Roasting kind of meals. Do you have some of your favorite recipes on your blog that you could point people to that we could link to that are examples of those like super easy introductory meals, but that are also going to give them a lot of bang for their buck, right? We want a big payoff for our work here.
Yeah. Well, let me do my kind of like a shameless plug here. Okay, so on the blog, on the right-hand side, there's a number of what I call directory links that take you to certain pages within the blog that are good starting points. And one of those is going to be easy recipes.
Oh, excellent. Okay, good.
So off to the side, there's a list of links, and one of them says easy Dutch oven recipes. You click on that, and it'll guide you to certain blog entries that are good starter recipes. And there's also other things in there. There's like divided by chicken, divided by pork, breads, desserts. So that's a kind of a good guide to get you where you want to go. But yeah, to get started, just click there where it says easy Dutch oven recipes.
Okay. Do you have a favorite within there? Or am I putting you on the spot with that?
Oh, favorite's tough.
Yeah.
Forget easy, just overall. I mean, what is your real favorite, or you know, top two?
Well, that's tricky too, because I like the wow factor. There's a roast that I enjoy doing that as a balsamic honey glaze. So I cook it actually lower temperature, like even as low as 300, and I cook it for many, many hours, very slow. You know, retains its juiciness and gets thoroughly fall apart, fork overcooked, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And about the last hour and a half of that process, I'm every 20, 30 minutes, I'm opening it up and I'm basting it with this honey and balsamic glaze. And it gets this kind of sweet, tangy crust on it. And man, it's amazing.
And you get to spend about 4 to 5 hours alone, too.
Yes.
Basting.
Stay away from me. I'm basting.
I'm basting. I love it.
See? You get it. You get it.
Oh, we're parents of young children. We can picture this in our heads. We're going to be fighting to see who gets to do the Dutch oven cooking.
I think Mark's writing haiku in his head while he's doing this.
Yeah. When people think of Dutch oven cooking, so often it's like stuck in that rut of like beef stew, cowboy stew, you know, that kind of a thing. But I think when you look at Mark's Black Pot, the blog, you see that you really are sort of, you're incorporating very unusual recipes, recipes that you don't normally think of when you think of a Dutch oven. So it's really creative.
Thank you. I like that. And I like the look on people's faces when I serve something and they go, you did that in a Dutch oven?
Right, right.
Yes.
So it's really thinking outside of the pot.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, it's like a Shakespearean sonnet. I mean, you're like, there's a limitation to the tools and to the form, but within the context of your tools and of your art, you can do anything you want.
Okay. That is literally the first time I've ever had a conversation about Dutch ovens that included Shakespearean sonnets.
Well, that's what happens when you get like English teachers interviewing you for an RV podcast. Things get weird, Mark.
Well, no, I mean, all joking aside, I mean, there's an art form to this, and that's easy to tell from talking to you that you're an artist with what you do.
Well, thank you. It's kind of interesting too, because I've learned, while we're waxing philosophical here, then we can get back to specifics. There's a couple of approaches to cooking, and I call it the classical music approach and the jazz music approach. Because some people like to cook by the book.
They measure out, follow the steps in the process.
Mm-hmm. You measure out the exact amounts in the recipes. These are the people who you know, scoop up the flour and then use the knife to scrape it off so that it's exactly level, right?
These are not the people that hold their hand 6 to 10 inches above the pot trying to get the temperature.
And it was like yesterday I was demonstrating this chili. And a lot of folks were writing down and they would stop me and say, how much of that did you just put in?
Right.
Certain dishes I actually do in a more classical music style. But a lot of things I really feel are like a good jazz tune. You know, you've got the melody notated, you've got the chord symbol written above that, and you know, all you really know is the melody, maybe the words, and you kind of comp the chords underneath it in a good rhythm, and you got a tune, right? And it's never the same twice.
Yeah, I'm definitely a jazz cook because I was raised cooking, so I just have a feel for it. I know what I want to do. I know what I want it to taste like, and it's always challenging for me to communicate that to other people. I'm like, well, just a handful, a bunch, put it in.
She's like Miles Davis. She just does it. Don't ask her how.
Uh-huh. It's bebop chili.
Yeah, if I have to, whenever I, for our blog, whenever I want to put down a recipe that I do for our blog, I have to very intentionally make that meal and note everything I'm doing along the way. Because if I've made it a million times, I just don't make it from a recipe. I make it from my head. It's different every time, you know? Well, you've obviously done a great job at communicating, because I know that your blog is very popular amongst people who are looking to learn more about Dutch oven cooking. That's how, you know, I discovered you. I know your name pops up all the time when you're just looking around for camp recipes and everything. So I really hope that our listeners go over and check out marksblackpot.com. And then I also hope that they check out your books. They can find them on your website or on Amazon, right, Mark?
Yeah, let me tell a little about them so that you know a little about which one to get based on what you're interested in. The first book is called Best of the Black Pot, kind of a selection of just some of the best recipes from the blog. Some are easy, some are more complex, but again, it's written so that it's easy to learn. And then there's some additional things and sections in there. I think I talk about how to use a chef's knife and how to, you know, those kinds of things. The second book is called Black Pot for Beginners, and that's a step-by-step how to use Dutch ovens, how to cook in a Dutch oven. In fact, the chapters are actually labeled as lessons rather than as chapters. So you start on lesson one, you go lesson two. If you just actually cook your way through the book, you'll become quite an accomplished Dutch oven chef, quite confident.
All right, so that sounds like it might be a good place for people to start.
It is, actually. Then the third one is called Around the World, which is sort of the opposite. It's a lot about these international dishes and fancier dishes and making up your own recipes. So it's a little more advanced. But again, I'm trying to write these in a style that I think pretty much anyone following my instructions could do a recipe. There's some cool things in there, like I made a smoked salmon dish doing the smoking in my Dutch ovens. I did sushi rice in my Dutch oven. Can you imagine going camping and having sushi.
Stephanie can definitely imagine going camping and having sushi.
It hasn't happened, but I can imagine
it. Right up her alley.
So that's in around the world. Lots of things from Europe. I tried to hit every continent. There's a couple of dishes from Africa, Middle East. Of course, not much from Antarctica. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to leave that one out. I wasn't going to give you a hard time about that. So you're really covering all the bases here. We can start with you, and then as we advance, we're going to find a Mark Hansen book that is going to take us all the way to the next level, the whole way through.
That's kind of the idea so far, and I've been pretty excited.
Well, I think that one of the things that makes your work on your website and in your books also is what you just explained, that you're actually a student of the Dutch oven, you're learning this along the way, and you're delighted to share all of your discoveries and your accomplishments with your readers, and we are delighted to share your materials with our listeners. So thank you so much, Mark, for coming on the show. We really appreciate all that you've taught us. I feel more confident. I know a lot of people out there.
It sounds, I'm not a cook, and it just really sounds like fun to me. I really want to try too, or at least want to be your helper. So
we'll touch base with you again, Mark, if we have any questions.
Actually, it really is the perfect way for guys to cook, because it involves metal and knives and fire.
I know, and it sounds, and just being outside makes it sound kind of like this, like, you know, we were saying, like Zen before. So yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to experimenting with this year. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We hope you really enjoyed that two-part interview with Mark Hansen from marksblackpot.com. That guy's like the John Coltrane of Dutch oven cooking. I really enjoyed talking to him. He is. He even used the analogy of being like a jazz musician. Yeah. So thank you so much to him. And also thank you to our sponsor, Good Sam. Stephanie, how can we all save money with Good Sam membership?
Yeah, well, you can pull out that card when you show up at our rally this weekend, a Good
you're
Sam
darn
Park.
Tootin', girlfriend, because we're rallying at Lake and Wood, and that's a Good Sam Park. So if you're going to camp at one of these great campgrounds like Lake and Wood, which has like a perfect rating, I think, in the Good Sam Travel Guide, you pull out that card, you're getting 10% off your camping fees. You're going to earn your $25 membership fee back so quickly it hurts.
Except you don't even have to earn back your $25 membership fee because you already have, because you're getting the $25 camping voucher when you sign up at GoodSam.com/RV Family Travel Atlas.
So that is a special offer just for our listeners. And there's other ways you can save money with Good Sam too. You're going to save money at Camping World. You're going to save money at Pilot Flying J. You're going to get some free issues of either Trailer Life or Motorhome. What else?
You can get a free annual 8-point RV inspection, which we have never done. And I think we should
actually
do. We
haven't even done the free 2-point RV inspection.
No. You know, it's like sometimes you're like, oh, I didn't know I get that. You also, I think that the free dump station privileges are pretty cool because honestly, we are doing more dry camping these days.
We are definitely doing more dry camping. So look, it is a no-brainer for us to renew that Good Sam membership every year. And if you're just getting into RVing or if you just haven't gotten around to buying one yet, you need to become a Good Sam member. It's worth every single penny.
Yeah. So if you sign up at GoodSam.com/RV Family Travel Atlas, you're going to pay $25 for that membership, but you're going to get a $25 camping voucher that you can use at your very first night camping at a Good Sam park.
And they also have a pretty groovy blog.
Yeah, they do. We've been on there.
But that's not why it's groovy. I wasn't suggesting that.
No, it's got a lot. And you can sign up for that newsletter and get like the blog
post.
Yeah, every time it shows up, which is always nice reading.
All right, thank you, Good Sam. Now, Stephanie, you wanted to talk about your three classic campfire cooking recipes, your three favorites for the Dutch oven. And man, looking at this list, I loved every single one of these. I hope you don't ask me which one is my favorite because I don't know. So let's start with the Dutch oven breakfast scramble, and it just sounds good.
Well, so I wanted to just throw in, we did this article a little while back for Progressive, and we'll link to the original article in the show notes. But I kind of just wanted to throw this article out there because if you're a little overwhelmed by Mark's
genius, mad genius,
professionalism when it comes to the Dutch oven.
He's an artist. Dump the whole professionalism thing. The guy's okay. An artist.
Well, I just want to say that if you're really not ready to like follow rules, there are some things that you can do in your Dutch oven that really you don't have to. Like you can put the Dutch oven like on top of the hot fire and you're good to go. And that's kind of how I've always done that campfire cooking. So if you want to start there, I've got like some super duper easy ones that we have used over the years in addition to like obviously like chili, which I make and that's fine.
You don't want to have all three of these over the course of one day for each meal.
No. No. So we have a breakfast, a dinner, and a dessert.
So talk to us about the breakfast scramble. Okay.
All right. So the Dutch oven breakfast scramble. I like this because it's so easy and you can use any ingredients that you have. It doesn't matter. Do you like peppers and onions? Sure. Do you like sausage? Sure. Well, then throw it in. Do you want to put in potatoes? Then put them in. You know, it can be whatever you want. It's just like an omelet.
And it could be different every time, which is kind of makes it kind of fun.
Yeah, it's just like an omelet. You start out by obviously getting the pan hot, the pot hot. You put the oil in it. And then you just put in like the things that need to cook the longest. So if I'm cooking with the vegetables, like peppers and onions, I'm going to put them in first. Or the sausage, I'm going to put that in, whether it's cooked or uncooked. Like sometimes I travel with cooked sausage. So that doesn't have to go in, you know, all
the way at the beginning. I prefer when we do travel with cooked sausage.
No, sometimes I'm saying like then there's the raw that you have to cook from scratch. You have no idea.
I just like it when we travel with sausage.
Yeah, you just like it on your plate made, right? And then after you've sauteed everything up and it's cooked and you know that all of it's, you know, all the vegetables are tender, all you have to do is pour your beaten eggs over the top and just don't do anything. Just let it set like a quiche, you know, like a frittata. It's just like that, but it's over the campfire so it doesn't look so snotty, you know. It's a frittata.
Yeah, you haven't made this in a while and I love this on like a cool fall day.
Yeah, well, and that's why I haven't in the summer. I tend
seasonal to you.
Yes. Okay. I tend to cook outside, and I tend to do campfire cooking more when it is cooler.
Yeah, we don't do heavy breakfasts in the summer when it's warm out. So this fall, will you do the breakfast scramble again, please?
Yes, I will.
All right. Now, second is Dutch oven pizza, and again, I loved the Dutch oven pizza. The boys go crazy for this. This is probably their favorite.
Yeah, and I just like this again because whatever you have on hand, you can use, okay? So as long as you travel with a ball of pizza dough, which is super easy to get at it's really super easy to get anywhere. But I particularly, if you live by a Trader Joe's, they've got great pizza dough that you can just find in the refrigerated section. But now the boys are obsessed with some that I just found at our new Whole Foods around here, and they love that flatbread. And I could use that in the Dutch oven and just substitute the pizza dough for that.
Good.
And it would be fine because the boys
are
now.
That flatbread is tasty.
Yeah, they're super obsessed with that. So you just, you know, you put that in there, you spread your sauce, you spread your cheese or no cheese because I know a lot of people are not non-dairy. You put any of the toppings that you want. You're going to create that seal, you know, to make sure that it all cooks nicely. You're going to cook it over the fire. It's just easy.
Was it a nice crispy crust the last time you did this?
Oh, sure. It gets, well, you know, and I'm not saying I'm like one of those Dutch oven cooks that, and I think, you know, Lauren Hector, I remember when I made the cornbread for everybody, you know, everybody said it was so good.
I thought it was perfectly good. You're very picky with cornbread though.
But the bottom did get too well done because I'm not good about saying, many coals.
You don't like anything well done. Now, moving to the third one, the Dutch oven monkey bread. The last time you did this, you also felt like the bottom was too well done. I thought it was perfect. I loved it being a little bit well done on the bottom.
Yeah, I have no talent in the temperature department with the Dutch oven, which is why I like things that like you can kind of like mess up a bit.
I don't think that it's you don't have talent. I don't think that's it at all. I think that you don't make these every camping trip, so you don't get that natural feel for the temperature. You know, you do them sporadically and then you're like, oh, I went a little too far with the temperature.
Yeah.
I think if you made me monkey bread on every camping trip, I think you would perfect it.
Oh, well, like the monkey bread, the last time I made it, I looked at it and it wasn't done. And I was like, oh, okay, it's not done. I'll give it a couple more minutes. But then, like, whatever happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what, like, you're a parent. Like, something happened. Like, I think Wesley was, like, drawing on the table. Who knows? Who knows?
It does get trickier doing Dutch oven cooking with little kids.
And then all of a sudden, like, I got distracted. And we say, squirrel, you know, and this family got distracted. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, my gosh, my monkey bread. And
I don't occasionally get distracted. I occasionally get undistracted.
Yeah, every once in a while,
these very rare moments where it's like, holy smokes, I'm actually focused.
Yeah, yeah. It's few and far between.
Now,
so anyway,
what is your favorite out of those three? I'm going with monkey bread. I told you not to ask me. I don't care. It is my favorite out of the three.
I'm a breakfast, a savory breakfast kind of girl. I love a good, like, eggs, vegetables, sausage.
But can we
breakfast.
Do the pizza this summer while we're traveling? Because that doesn't have to be a seasonally attached meal. That's not just a fall meal.
Absolutely. The boys have actually gotten to the point where now they like homemade pizza a little bit better than the store-bought
pizza. And didn't Mark say don't skimp on the toppings?
But I never do. See, that's something.
You don't.
Yeah. I'm one of those people that understands that quality ingredients makes good food. So I do really strive to get quality ingredients when I cook, and I think it, you know, makes a difference in the food you produce. So,
and if you check out this article at lifelanes.progressive.com, you have the ingredients there for each.
Oh yeah,
of these,
it's
right?
Recipes. Yeah, right. You know, like a version of it. Like one, you know me and recipes.
A little of this, a little of that. Try not to get distracted, Mom.
Yeah, it's a version of it, and then you can. And the reason why I put all these recipes on the Progressive blog was that they're so you can improvise according to your own tastes, and I like that. I always like that. I know parents like that because you have kids. This one likes this. This one doesn't like that.
Well, Mark's all for improvising.
Yeah. So that's our easy ones that you can sort of use in addition to your soups and stews before you're ready to conquer the more difficult
ones. Now, can we open up a forum thread just on Dutch oven cooking? Will you do that? Just so if anyone wants to throw in their favorite recipe or any questions or comments.
I think there's one open already.
Okay, great. So if you have any questions or comments or you want to throw in your favorite recipe, head on over to our forum.
I'll link to it in the show notes. All right.
We'll be back in a second to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for joining us for episode 91 of RVFTA. We are approaching episode 100, Stephanie.
Oh,
100 straight episodes with no break.
Are streamers going to come out of the sky?
Is that really the big one, episode 100, or is it episode 104? Two straight years of podcasting without taking a week off, people.
I don't know.
We're dedicated.
I'll have to look at the calendar and see which one I want to celebrate.
So thank you for listening to this episode and all of our episodes. And thank you to our great sponsors. Thank you to Campers Inn, to Good Sam, to RV Trader, and to Penguin Random House.
And also, we want to thank Progressive for sponsoring RV Family Travel Atlas. We are so excited to kick off our summer Where is Flow contest, all right? So in order to participate, all you have to do is look for a picture, all right, to pop up on our Instagram account.
And we're not going to make it too obvious, are we, right? You're going to have to kind of like really think about it and look at the picture.
Yeah, it's just going to be like, okay, enough that you could figure it out, but not too easy, right?
If you've been there, you'll be able
just
to figure
right.
It out.
It'll
if you
be just
been there,
right.
It might be hard for you.
Or if you've looked at a lot of books or something, or read a lot of travel articles or something.
You might have right? to ask a friend.
Yeah, you might have to ask around, okay? So what you're going to do is when the picture pops up in our Instagram account at RV Family Travel Atlas, you're going to take a guess as to where Flo is. And you're also going to have to tag another RV fool with your guess. All of the people that guess correctly will be entered to win some great Progressive swag.
Okay, so thank you so much for listening. We will see you guys at the campground.
See you at the campground.